Mr. Molesley, I do not know why you have treated your hair with a special substance.
Well,
but I can only say that the effect on your appearance is not what you would have it. Take steps, Mr. Molesley. Take steps.
This is the Extra Hot Great Podcast, episode 53, for the week of January 4th, 2015. I am new Latin hairdo David T. Cole, and I'm here with Sarah Bunting, Sarah D. Bunting.
That's literally what she said.
Footman fucker, Tara Ariano.
Rattle, 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 bang, bang, bang.
And offended Earl John Ramos.
What is she doing here?
Welcome to the new year, everyone, especially John Ramos.
Woo!
Our
Thank
guest.
You. So happy to be here. So happy that you guys are on again.
Yes, us too. It's good to be getting back into our regular routine. We're like at half speed now. I will be happy when my office is all set up and I'm fully on regular Tara time.
Beep, 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 beep.
Blah, blah,
oh,
blah, blah.
Oh, time for another Tara update.
Fine. Anyway, we will be discussing Downton Abbey as our intro suggested. But first, I wanted to remind you that the phrase that doesn't pay is still in effect. It was the same. We didn't mention it last week, but we did use it last week, so it carries over.
Yep.
So put your listening ears on, and let's proceed. Downton Abbey, much bigger role for our friend Sarah Bunting this season. Sarah D. Bunting, what do you think so far?
I mean, I'm just enjoying how discomforted everyone is by her.
Yes.
And the many, many times that my name is used in a disgusted British tone of voice. I can't wait until the Dowager gets a hold of Miss Bunting.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be great.
Although she did actually keep the peace when Lord G made a kerfuffle at dinner, which is very out of character. Who knew he had so much guilt about the war that he would make such a thing of it?
I know.
Anyway, I like her hairdo.
Did anyone care about that? I didn't actually care.
Did anyone care about what? About the fight?
No, about his guilt about the war.
Oh.
I don't.
Yeah.
This whole thing just seems like so much machinating to, I don't know, set Carson ill at ease, or I don't know. I just feel like everything, the pieces are all being put in place for putting them in places they've been before.
Well, I think it's kind of subtle because they don't really lean on this very hard, but the world is changing. So I think that's a lot of what's happening now. It's a changing world. I don't know if you heard. They have the way that Julian Fellowes comes up with new ways to say that. Like this episode, he had that whole line about like this natural state of the world is flux and not constancy or something. It's like, settle down. He
Next
used
thing
to
you're
be
gonna
on
say
the...
That, next thing you're going to say that women's place is changing in this changing world, too.
Yeah.
And what about the toasters?
That really hit.
What about the toasters?
Yeah, women's place is changing to some sex tourism, it seems like,
for true.
Lady Mary. What do we think about that? How about Tony? What we never really talked about the end of last season. Do we have thoughts about Tony versus Charles?
I kind of forgot what Charles
who?
Does. Yeah, exactly.
Charles was the guy who was like researching.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying.
Oh, okay.
He's the not Tony.
Yeah.
Yes.
All that matters.
Yeah. Right. A bit more of the caustic firebrand, I guess.
Yeah. Although he, then,
I don't really have
for
any
that, for Britain.
Right. I don't really have any thoughts on that, except I did feel like it was that kind of retrofitted, not feminism even, but like, you know, let's give her something modern to say about how silly it is that people get married without having fucked first. Like, well, okay. It's working out great for Danielle on 90 Day Fiancé.
Oh, Danielle.
I think it's fine. I mean, personally, with Tom Cullen, I probably would take my chances.
Yeah. He looks like he knows his way around a petticoat. Are they even still wearing them in 1924?
I don't know. We should ask Mary.
He was way around a long shotgun. That's got to count for something.
No, that was Tom.
That was both of them, I thought.
Yes, but he was saying he was bad at shooting.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well,
okay.
Perhaps. Foreshadowing. All right, so that's the upstairs people. Let's talk about the downstairs people. Daisy has a storyline this season, and it
Good
starts
Lord.
Out with her being pissed off about something. What a surprise.
The right to mope.
Yeah. Oh, Daisy.
I mean, of all things, being pissed off at her own inability to do math, like, they're really scraping the bottom of the barrel now, I think. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, my notes literally read, it's nice to know she's literally at the same loss as she was at the beginning of the series, even though she's got to be 30 years old by now.
Well, like, yeah, I noticed
move it. Move the ball.
Yeah, way more than before. I was conscious this season of, or in this premiere at least, of, like, really a ton of time has passed and these people look no different at all. Like, it's more than 10 years since the start of the show. And, like, so Mary would, you would think, would be, like, in her, like, pushing 40 probably, right? Because she was already marriageable age then. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, maybe late 30s, I think, would be reasonable.
Like, yeah.
I mean, it was 1912, right? The sinking of that. So,
oh, yeah, right.
12 years have passed.
So 12 years. Yeah. And they should, I understand that they have to put the year Chiron at the beginning so that we know where we are. But at the same time, it's like, don't call attention to how much suspension of disbelief is required for us to buy this, because it's only been like 4 years and like 12 years have passed. Anyway, who else?
Mosley. Mosley's my favorite character now.
Really? Because
he's
hair?
So pathetic.
Just because of the aggressive Eeyore-ness that the show
yes, exactly.
Hangs on
yeah.
Him.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm really curious what that concoction was made out of, how you make DIY 20s
like polish,
hair. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I assume it was whatever he had at hand. So shoe polish, probably.
I was kind of waiting for a Marty on Frasier moment where he was going to sit on a chair or something like that, and it was going to be all drippy on the back of it, but
he doesn't get to sit.
Oh yeah, that's true. But yeah, I really enjoy his yes, Eeyore-ness is perfect, and that he's everybody's punching bag still is great, and I hope that never ends, because there's something about that works, whereas when they do it on Parks and Recreation with Jerry, I don't like it.
Yeah.
Because I don't think he deserves it, but Mosley is of the world where you're allowed to do that, and it just seems right to me.
Well, because Mosley also has, like, he thinks he's more than he is.
Yeah.
That's the difference between him and Jerry. Like, Jerry doesn't have any ambitions beyond what he's actually doing.
And the
Whereas
scene
Mosley is like, but I'm a valet, like, no one cares.
And the scene where he gets the gets what's Baxter to guess his age. She guesses 52. Well, how old are you?
Like, I'm 51.
I wanted him to say like 47 or something, but yeah. No, speaking of Baxter, finally Baxter's fucking horrible secret revealed. What a snooze.
Yeah. Bohawk ring. Oh my god.
For all, especially since it's tied into Thomas's continuing obsession with the bits is,
yeah.
I don't mind that it was like just basically a petty crime, or maybe not for that time, but by the sounds of it, she spent 3 years in prison. But here's, I don't mind if the show operated on that level, but it's demonstrated that the show goes big often, like the rape storyline last season. So when there's like too much disparity between big and small, and it makes the small seem really small, especially when it's built up for that long. Like, that was a half a season in the making, at least, that storyline. And that's the payoff. Like, it either you gotta choose to be this small British upstairs, downstairs drama, or, you know, you have to be really careful how you mix your elements, and the payoff versus how long they teased that did not.
Well, I also think it was implied that there's a secret within the secret. But if that's the case, it's like, oh, this was too much secret to reveal at once. They have to hold back some more.
That's right.
Just like, oh, well, my God, get it over with. Seriously. Like,
we flew to England and watched a couple more episodes. And there is, and it is not that great. Like, it's pretty much what you would expect it to be, given the little that they've already teased. But yeah, Dave is right. Like, the first season ended with Cora's last lady's maid causing her to have a miscarriage. Like, that's pretty high stakes compared to I stole some jewelry. So yeah, especially after building it up for an entire season of, like, ever since we met Baxter, this has been hanging over her head, and like, this is all it is. It's like he forgot that he was supposed to give her something. It was like, oh, I guess I'll, I don't know, whatever.
And it's also indicative, I think, of one of the big weaknesses of the show is dragging things on too long and not shuffling people back to the back of the deck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Bates and Anna being continuing offenders of that, or Bates.
The worst.
Bates. Bates. It's still not over.
No, it's not. No, it just keeps on going.
That keeps going too, by the way.
Yeah. I wonder how that actor, if he just has to like stand in front of the mirror the night before and just like, how can I improve my scowl? You know, how can I, you know, how do I be that little bit more menacing? It is just all he does. He just kind of looks at somebody like, oh.
Unless there's a fond glimmer.
Yes.
That's true.
That's always exciting.
To me, it's not the scowl. It's that what he has one face and it's that smirk.
Well, it's sort of like this. Yeah, it's like.
He has Peter Krause disease.
His menace smile. He's got a nice smile. I don't know what it is. But yeah, he's got that one face. And it's like, we can do something else with him. And I remember, like, at least when they introduced him, he had this thing, right? He was like all, you know, concerned about how people perceive him because he's, you know, hobbling around and all that stuff and getting over all that. And since then, he's just been basically like the guy in the house that kills people.
Yeah. And every house needs one. Like, I'm not arguing that, but I just wish it wasn't him. It should be Thomas. If anyone is killing people at Downton Abbey, it should be Thomas.
All right. And then there's the fire at the end of this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Created by stupid Edith.
Fucking Edith.
Oh, Edith.
Jesus.
God damn it, Edith.
No, I love to hate her.
Damage beyond Lady Edith's bedroom. Yeah. Truer words, etc.
Classic.
God.
And then she
Thanks,
has to sleep
Thomas.
In the closet. And I love how much Mrs. Drew fucking hates her guts, too. Like, this bitch again, it's awesome. Like, why she keeps showing up and hanging out. Like, well, we better not keep you. Like, Edith, take a hint.
Like, one of my favorite little moments was actually at the table. Even her kids gave each other side eyes about Edith. Like, oh, my
God. Yeah, Edith is the this only sad sackier than Molesley at this point.
Points to Lord G for demanding somebody rescue the dog within 10 seconds of the fire starting.
And then remembering that he also has grandchildren.
But, yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right,
and
guys.
Ordering Tom around, like, oh, you know where everything's kept to put out the fire.
Yep.
Peon.
Time for a new segment.
What?
It's Bunting versus Bunting. Our weekly examination of how much Sarah D. Bunting is like her Downton Abbey doppelganger, Sarah Bunting, as determined by her friends on the Extra Hot Crate podcast. Guys. Great. Sarah Bunting, liberal troublemaker.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can check off that box. Party yep. crasher. I don't know, John.
No.
Party crasher.
Well, she didn't really crash.
She wasn't crashed.
She
was invited.
You know, she actually exhibited a pretty good command of etiquette. So I would say that fits with our Sarah. So
she wrote a nice note to explain herself, which we all know Sarah loves to write a note.
And then she ascertained that her invitation was a proper one. So I thought,
Let's not forget about the English background. I mean, the subject, not the nationality.
Right.
Oh, that she teaches English.
Yes.
Yes. And math. That's where they diverge, I think.
Yeah.
getting into it at the dinner table. Definitely possible.
I don't know. I don't think that our Sarah would make a fuss like that. She would talk about it after the fact. She would wait until she got in the car and then be like, "And that bitch."
Yeah,
but I don't see
enough,
you making it.
Not enough automobile talk.
True.
Not a motor Sarah. Talk. Yes. No, but I don't see you making a scene at a dinner that you were nicely invited to. That. Because you would wait until you could talk about it behind
people's
backs.
Yeah, no, there would be some muttering, but...
Mm-hmm. Now, what about Sarah Bunting's downstairs servant overture at the end of dinner? Does Sarah do that?
I thought that kind of, you know, Sarah's a good tipper in real life. She appreciates good service, so I thought that I thought there was an analog there, yeah.
All right, so it sounds like we got some hits, not everywhere, so I'm going to say...
Wait, you forgot cute hair, which they both have.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's true, you. But she is very short.
She is very short.
Yeah.
Even with other short actors, she looks short. She must be tiny.
We have to know teaching kids is a hard pass, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
True. All right. So where do we place this episode, Sarah Buntingness, on a scale of something to something?
5 on a scale of 10.
Yeah.
That's what she says.
Okay. That works for me. I might go as high as 6.
I was going to say 6. Yeah. Yes. But,
I think it's a 6.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
There we go.
Has Miss Bunting gone?
All right. right. It's time to go around the dial. Will everybody bring something that they've watched or experienced on TV to the table? And we're going to start with Tara.
Well, we haven't
had... Bless you.
Bless you, whoever that was.
Excuse me.
We haven't had a proper episode of this show since we recorded our program parole board special sometime in October. So I wanted to check back in on the progress of that. I actually took your advice and bought all of Rags to Riches on DVD and have been working my way through it. And I've been writing about it on previously.tv.
Refresh our memory.
Okay. Rags to Riches is the show of a, it's about Nick Foley, who made his fortune. He's a hard scrabble kid from Hoboken, New Jersey, who worked his way up to being a frozen food magnate in the early 60s.
I thought he worked his way up to be director of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Alas, no.
Oh, that's Nick Fury.
Yes.
Sorry.
So
I thought he'd be an all-time great sound designer.
He's none of those things because his real name is Fulatini, guys.
Fulatini. Got it.
Not to be trusted.
Wink. So he's trying to put some kind of business deal together, and so someone convinces him that to make himself look like a family man, because I guess his reputation is as some kind of legendary pussy hound, he goes to an orphanage that's about to close and says, "I'll take six, please," and brings home six orphans who are all girls, one of whom is the youngest fucking Mickey is 8, I think, or 9 or 10. And then the rest are teenagers ranging from 13 to 17. So all of this is incredibly inappropriate. And it only gets more so as the show goes on. It's terrible. I'm watching.
Doesn't one of the orphans just like fall down a hole or something?
Yeah, between the pilot, which is like a movie, and then the first proper episode. Oh my god, I don't even remember her name. Nina, the one who was Surf Betty from 90210.
That's just a law of averages. If you have that many, orphans, you're going to lose one.
Yes.
There's
1 in 6 is the normal attrition rate. Yes.
I mean, no court in the land is going to convict you for that.
Right. But so then in the first episode, she's just gone. And they don't mention her until like episode 5. Someone says, you know, like how Nina found her mother. Like, oh, I guess that all happened off screen because it hasn't been mentioned in weeks and weeks.
The studio owned Nina and decided to get rid of her.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway,
and
so
she became a teenage alcoholic and almost drowned.
Exactly. Cut her hair, which was a good call. It's supposed to be taking place in 1960, and so there's musical numbers where they like rewrite the lyrics to songs to reflect what's going on in the episode, which is obviously completely terrible. And they can only, I think Tisha Campbell can actually sing. Their dancing is also really bad, and the fashions of, quote, 1961, unquote, are really, really, really not Mad Men level researched, shall we say. Diane is the one who's like Rose is the oldest, and she's like sort of a pinko, and she just dresses like fully 80s all the time, like oversized blazers, embellished hats, like tons of brooches. It's just all of it is 80s through and through.
Yeah, the choose life shirt was an interesting choice.
You're joking, but it's almost that bad. Like there was one point where I was like, is she wearing two different colored neon hats? She was. She had two hats, one on top of the other.
Oh,
literally putting a hat on a hat.
And then when she stepped outside and got hot, her shirt changed color.
Again, you're joking, but I bet that happened on the actual set. Like, she really looks like
Jane. There is definitely one of the screen grabs you used. There is an Esprit sweatshirt that I owned.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I'm pretty sure that's 1985, but okay. Enjoy, show.
Yeah, it's not.
Rags to Riches of Benetton.
Yeah, some of them look like, but in a single scene, like, one of them will be styled like she just walked out of Pan Am, and then the rest of them all look like, you know, my two dads or whatever. Anyway, I just wanted to check in and let everybody know, if you haven't been following this saga on the site, which you should.
You definitely should.
I did take up this challenge. I regret it, but I think there's only 8 more episodes to go. So, please check in and share my pain. And if you have even the tiniest amount of interest, please buy the DVDs because it's not streaming anywhere. And watch along with me because I really feel very alone.
All right, let's go to John.
Okay, well, I also am revisiting something that I talked about the last time I was on, which is The Flash, which I'm also covering for CW. But last time we talked about the...
You're covering it for us,
for PTV, not the CW.
Yeah. is on the CW. You're covering it for
PTV. Yeah, you guys are the CW.
We're on vacation. It's fine.
I wish.
We talked about the shows that we were looking forward to and some that we weren't looking forward to, but The Flash was the one that I was looking forward to. And of the three, like, super hyped superhero shows, it seems to have done the best. At least certainly exceeded the expectations for it.
Wait, and what are those shows? New shows?
Gotham and, well, I'm counting
Constantine. Oh, yeah, Constantine, yeah, right.
Yeah, which I actually have a soft spot for. It's bad, but it's also been canceled at this point, so it's kind of irrelevant.
Oh, did they finally?
Well, they're airing all the episodes that were ordered, but yeah,
canceling it. So,
yeah.
Well, it's moving time slots now, too. Now Dateline is going to be Fridays at 10, and Constantine will be on at 8, which seems appropriate given the subject matter.
Kids love that stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, one of the things I like about it is just commensurate with, you know, its lead, the Flash, who runs very fast, is his superpower. They really keep the show moving. It's not dark and brooding. It's got a much lighter tone, kind of the counterpart to Arrow, also on the CW. And it's great. I don't know. Everyone seems to like it. Gustin he fits that. Well, it's the CW, so I guess you can still use the word adorkable, even though I hate it. But it's that Seth Cohen role that everyone who watches CW loves.
If Seth Cohen had a neck as thick as his head.
That's true.
He's got a thick neck. Just saying. It's not a bad thing.
Jesse L. Martin overacts delightfully. Tom Cavanaugh is very superbly
duplicitous. Tom Cavanaugh is on this.
Tom Cavanaugh is the villain.
No way! Yes. No shit.
Yes.
That's kind of awesome.
Ed is the villain in this. So
I'm so behind in all of television. I mean, The Flash wasn't really on my radar, but that kind of piques my interest, to be honest with you.
They're also bringing in lots of people that were on the original Flash show.
Oh, yeah.
Including
The Flash.
Including The Flash from Dawson. Yeah,
including awesome. The Flash, who plays his dad.
Yeah.
And it's very Flash watchable, senior. And I think sometimes with showrunners who are super successful, like Berlanti, some of their older shows lack some attention. But right now, I think The Flash has his full effort, which is probably why it's that good. It's got a real good emotional undercurrent to all the superhero stuff that's going on.
Well, and it's, I think it's
I
important
highly
that
recommend it.
Sorry to interrupt you. I think it's important that they're showing that it's possible to make a comic book show that, like, isn't dark like Gotham, but also isn't Ralph Wiggum stupid. Like, it has emotional moments that it actually earns. Like, even the screen grabs that you cap of The Flash with his dad, like, when every time he goes to visit him in prison, it's like, just that alone makes me want to cry.
It's always a puddle of tears, that one. But the one from this very last episode where he's, like, you know, not only his face scrunched up, his body is all scrunched up too. Like with crying, it's pretty good.
And did I see that they got the Arrow Flash kind of crossover out of the
they
way?
They did a crossover on both shows, and I read a lot of the comments of Arrow watchers, and they were just like, "Why isn't Arrow this good all the time?"
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. So
and they're doing Berlanti's doing Supergirl. I read. Last week, or he's going into pilot or something like that for CBS, which is same company, right?
Yes.
CW and CBS.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that could be another character that they'll add into this.
That's
little
interesting.
Mini
that seem
Justice
like...
League thing they got going on here or whatever. Sorry if they're not into like Justice League.
No. That seems like a departure for CBS, but.
Well, that's what I thought. I mean, unless I misread it and it was like CBS properties and it's really going to be a CW show.
It's CSI Supergirl. Totally understandable mistake to make.
Scorpion.
It's Supergirl when she's 60 and she's on some, you know, she's the sergeant of some
she's
you know
submarine.
Police force and
NCIS Supergirl
saving lives.
NCIS Supergirl.
Gleefully.
Super Jag.
Just a side note on superhero shows, since we're talking about it, I'm very excited about Agent Carter coming this week.
Oh yeah,
well. It's the other definitely. Superhero universe, but yeah, Monty will be covering that for us.
Oh cool. Yeah. All right. I want to talk very briefly about FXX movie ads. I don't know if you guys watch the network at all, but if you do, you've noticed since they've kind of went through a rebranding, I don't know, maybe about 3 or 4 months ago, all their ads for movies are all sort of like this dubstep, weird edit, kind of clickety-clack back and forth, kind of like if you imagine an animated GIF with sound and somebody with like ADHD. attention to each.
Has ADHD so much, yeah. Doesn't know the whole phrase.
I started to think about TVs, and I was like, oh, wait, 4K, that's not a thing. They're really I both love them and hate them because they make the dumbest movies sort of seem appealing.
They totally do.
Like Hotel Transylvania, I'm watching the ad for it. I'm like, oh, it looks good. Wait a sec. That's Hotel Transylvania. I know that's terrible. I can tell that's terrible. And they have like two modes. They do one where it's all that quick cut fanciness. Like they have one for Won't Back Down where somebody's just slapping their wrist with an elastic band, you know, as sort of a stress reliever. And
which, by the way, I've watched that movie. There's nothing kinetic about it. It's about starting a charter school.
And the other mode they have for these ads is basically they'll just show one scene, right? They'll just pick a good scene, which I always thought they should do for movie trailers for a lot of movies instead of doing like, you know, show 30 different things. Just pick like a good 1 minute chunk and show it. And not even as a special event. Because you remember when they did that for Batman 2, Dark Knight? They did that special thing in the theaters where
the
they just showed
the bank robbery
thing. Like if they just sort of took that idea but just like did a regular trailer length and just picked like 90 minutes of a scene that was compelling but didn't give everything away. They do that with these ads sometimes. You know, they'll show like a 15-second chunk of the movie and it could just be dialogue or it could be an action sequence. Anyways, I just want to say kudos to the FFX marketing team. You're doing a really good job. So far, you haven't made me watch any bad movies, but I really appreciate what you're doing because they're actually like somebody's spending a lot of time on these ads, and usually, you know, they don't go that deep. But then again, FX was the company that like the same marketing team also does a very stupid thing on FX where, you know, the FX got the movies ad where they stick FX logo in all the movie scenes, you know, where Iron Man will pop out and he's got FX in the middle of his little metal magnet heart saver thing.
Yeah.
That's dumb. So you're coming of age, FX. Congratulations. All right, let's end this with Sarah's pick.
Bringing it back to merry old England, longtime listeners will remember the Sermance that I had with the American Baking Competition, which, of course, is based on a British show called The Great British Bake Off. I don't know why PBS chose to change the name to The Great British Baking Show. I also don't know why the New York market of PBS is not airing the show on Sunday nights. Like, I can't find it anywhere, but fortunately, I'm able to fly to England frequently and watch the episodes, and PBS does post all the episodes fairly shortly after they air, so you can watch them online, and I highly recommend it. It is like it's all the best of reality competition shows. The hosts are a little annoying with all the joking. I never thought I would actually say this, but I think Jeff Foxworthy may have improved on the original.
Whoa.
There.
I never thought you'd say that either.
I know. I didn't say that. It was the other Sarah Bunting. But yeah, it's great, especially for someone like me who like doesn't really bake very well. Like I can, you know, I can do Rice Krispie treats. I can use a mix, like a brownie mix. But
oh my God, me
something
too.
Where you have to roll things or create a biscuit 3D scene with like chili gingerbread. No way. I'd be like, I quit, forget it. I'll test everyone else's. That's my job. But yeah, it's a really good show. It's like MasterChef Junior sort of like, they are actually there to make friends. Some of them. And it's a very supportive environment where you actually focus on what the competition is about and not horseshit drama. It's like, make this stuff. Whoever fucks up leaves. Very straightforward.
What percentage of the things that they make are disgusting British food items?
So far, pretty low percentage.
It's baking, so it's just like desserts.
I suppose. Yeah, I would love to see a British cooking challenge where they make all that terrible British cuisine.
Black pudding.
Blood pudding.
Haggis.
All that kind of stuff.
Are some cute dudes on it.
But you know what you can do is you could combine the baking challenge and then it kind of like morphs into like a Fear Factor eating challenge at the end.
Well, that's just like Mom.
That's true. That is just like Mom. Point taken. All right. That music means it's time for the canon. And John Ramos is going to pitch us an episode of a TV show for induction into the Extra Hot Great Canon. John, take it away.
Well, thank you, Dave. Last time I was on, listeners may remember, I did an episode of Enlisted, which was a show gone too soon after one season. And I thought this show might be in the same category, but recently, way after any reasonable person had given up hope, USA renewed Playing House. So this is a much happier entry. Playing House is a great show, which kind of defied an easy pick for the canon, but I soldiered on and did it anyway. So I am doing season one, episode eight, 37 weeks, which, as the title suggests, happens 37 weeks into Maggie's pregnancy. And the first clip kind of establishes where we are.
So as you can see, we're right on track. The baby's healthy and doing great. Any questions or concerns?
No, I think I'm good.
Oh, I have a question, Doc.
Okay, Emma?
My main concern regarding Maggie's delivery is that there be, how do I put this? Minimal vaginal destruction. Because someone once told me that before labor, your vagina looks like, you know, like a new rose with opening to the morning sun.
Oh, like the rose from Beauty and the Beast, where exactly. Just like one petal falls off.
Yeah, tale as old as time, song as old as rhyme. Mm-hmm. But after labor, it could look like that plant from Little Shop of Horrors.
Okay, yes, that's not true.
That is true, and it's real. And you're going to be getting back out on the post-divorce dating scene, so I just want to make sure she's keeping it, you know. Right and tight.
All right. Obviously, it is never my goal to destroy a vagina.
It's worth noting that following this, too, Emma threatens to send an email with destroyed vagina photos just as a precaution to the doctor, and he like kind of frantically waves his arm at her not to.
You're
going to
get me in trouble.
But anyway, the point is, she's in her 37 week, and this sends Maggie spinning off a little bit, which is perfectly understandable. And the next thing we know, Emma kind of wanders down at 3 o'clock in the morning, bleary eyed, and finds Maggie drilling in her kitchen. And that's clip two.
No, you don't. You know what you're going to do? You're going to give me the drill. You're going to give me the drill. You're going to get off that step stool. Because guess what? I'll take care of this. Okay.
You will?
Yep. Tomorrow I'll round up a ragtag bunch of dreamers and we'll get it done. Okay. Okay.
I think I might need some fig newtons.
Okay, we'll get you some newtons and we'll get you to bed. Okay?
I need some gingy and some newtons.
I just want to say, I really like this show a lot, but my favorite micro moment of the series is just delivery of
the fig newtons.
Oh my god, it's so funny.
I love it too.
This is how Tara has to talk to me frequently. We're gonna get Dodo some nunus. Calm down. Yes, there's a new Sleepy Hollow. Okay, some ginger.
Well, it's the best of several examples where Maggie's mouth just kind of departs from her brain.
Yeah.
She just starts running off and Emma kind of has to run after it and catch her and be like, it's okay, you know, like so the next day the bones of the ragtag team mentioned are starting to be assembled. Keegan-Michael Key shows up. He's there to paint. And Gwendolyn, Emma's mom, shows up as well. But she's only there because she thinks a Latin guy named Manuel Labor is going to be in attendance. So she's not much of a help. But upstairs, Mark and Maggie start painting. And I'm sorry, Mark and Emma start painting. Emma is not particularly helpful, and they get into kind of a usual fight over the five-step process that Mark has about painting. Tape, prime, trim, wipe tape, prime, trim, and then paint. They get into another... things develop, there's tension, and that leads us into clip three. Oh.
What about snacks? I feel like I'm going to probably need a bunch of snacks,
That's
right?
Not clip three.
Oh, I'm sorry. I steered you wrong. I'm sorry. Clip three is with Gwendolyn and
clip
Maggie.
Do you want
that's what happens. That's what happens.
Why don't
after
you just
the
tell
scene
me
ends.
What clip you want?
Yeah, go ahead. That's right, Dave. Sorry.
All right, play the same clip I just played.
Please do.
All right.
What about snacks? I feel like I'm going to probably need a bunch of snacks, right? I mean, I didn't get snacks because I didn't know what snacks to get, but I probably should run it to the 7-Eleven for snacks, right? Like just a basket full of snacks or a bag of snacks or something. Here, take this.
It's a huge Toblerone.
By the time you struggle to eat one painful triangle of chocolate, the baby will be there. I'm sorry, I'm such a mess. I feel like everything is moving so fast. I'm very unprepared.
Maggie, you take it from me. None of this other stuff really even matters.
Okay.
Because nothing can ever prepare you for the horror that is childbirth and the thankless task of raising a child.
That's what I've been saying. No one will listen to me.
I'm with you.
You are.
I'm not arguing. This is maybe not super helpful for Maggie at the moment.
Yes.
But speaking to what we were saying earlier about the decoupling of her mouth and her brain, I love her distinguishing between a bag of snacks and a basket of snacks.
There is a difference. Speaking as a
it's
snack
true, there
expert.
Is a difference, but I don't think she really felt it in the moment.
Perhaps.
Then we go back to Mark and Emma, and there's more kind of tension. Mark learns that he was Emma's longest relationship, which causes him to question her, you know, ability to commit to anyone, and that leads us to clip four.
I don't have a fear of commitment.
Okay, I proposed to you, and then you hopped on a plane and flew to the furthest place you could find for 13 years.
All right, just so you know, your proposal?
Don't air quotes my proposal. Yeah. That was a real proposal.
No, I know you meant it, but I mean, let's get honest. You didn't want to really marry me, you just wanted to get married.
Is that what you think?
Yeah. It's all part of the Mark Rodriguez grand plan, you know? Married by 23, on the force by 25, paint, white, trim, paint,
it's
trim,
white,
paint.
Tape, prime, trim,
all right,
and
well,
then...
you know what? I just paint, okay? I don't need any of that other business.
Okay, then let's just do it your way.
Great, that'd
let's
be great.
Let's just do it your way. We'll just start painting
oh,
here,
really
and
good.
Then we'll just
can
paint
I help?
Here. Oh,
can
by
I
all
help?
Means, please help.
Yeah, how about yeah, that? Does that work?
Here. Yeah, we're just painting away.
Okay,
painting
yeah.
away.
What?
He painted on Maggie's chest.
Yeah, what happened there is Mark took a roller and right to
classic
right to Maggie's
painting.
Chest, and yeah. she was not amused. So, so Maggie yells at them, and they get themselves together. They get over themselves temporarily. There are a couple of funny asides with the baby monitor that Mr. Najiami helps set up and does a quick demonstration of all the ways that Maggie's house is not baby proofed to her
oh,
chagrin.
Oh, my eyeball! Best.
And then Emma and Mark are back upstairs. They're painting more. You know, some detente is set in. Emma's adhering to Mark's system. And then Mark tells her that he would have. I'm sorry, Emma. Emma apologizes. He makes fun of her. They get close. They're about to kiss, and then Bird Bones walks in.
Oh, Bird Bones.
I know, in classic sitcom timing. And I love Mark's. Mark announces, like, hey, it's my wife. Like he's like he's Kramer, like when he had the Merv Griffin.
Not only it's my wife, it's, hey, it's my wife, everyone.
Everyone, yeah,
to
exactly.
one other person in the room.
So... Bird Bones feels weird. She goes down to have a little confab with Emma, and that's when she learns that Mark and Emma were once engaged, which Mark had conveniently forgotten to tell her. So she storms back upstairs. There's a fight. It kind of moves all through the house, and the way the episode is set up to end is Mark, Emma, Bird Bones, and eventually Maggie are all upstairs, and the rest of the peanut gallery is watching on the baby monitor.
As you
so that leads us to clip five.
It was never going to work out. I mean, did you really see me married to Monster Mash?
Wait. Who is Monster Mash?
Oh, no.
No. Maggie, you get back in here. Someone tell me who Monster Mash is, and do not say it's me.
It's you. That's your nickname. That's what we called you behind your back in high school.
What? Is that true?
Okay, well, you know how people called me String Bean and Tina Bird Bones? Well, they called you Monster Mash.
What? Why? Because I'm an emotional monster? Because I mash people's feelings?
No, because of that tap dance that you did, the eighth grade talent show to Monster Mash.
What are you talking about? That killed.
It was the match. It was the graveyard mash. Wasn't a smash.
But I was wearing that werewolf mask in my dad's lab coat. I got a standing ovation for that.
From your dad.
No.
I love the defeated smash.
Like, remember? So there's a quick bit where Maggie tries to, you know, kind of bring them all down and be like, hey, we were kids. This is what kids do. But clip six blows that up.
Yeah. I mean, and let's get honest. Who here hasn't had a piece of Mark? I mean, I'm right. You have, and I know I have, so.
Wait, what?
No, no, relax, 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 relax.
This was after I proposed to you and before I got together with you, Tina.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We were like 25. We'd had a couple hard ciders. We made out on Kevin Rosenfarb's waterbed. Yep. It was, didn't finish. We were both wearing jeans.
And there was no finishing. We passed out. Nothing happened.
It's no biggie.
Huge biggie. Just FYI.
Wait, I'm sorry. Why exactly is that a biggie to you, Monster Mash?
I don't know. Just because Maggie is...
You know what? You are all insane.
We were both wearing jeans.
Oh my God. So right at this moment, then Maggie goes into labor. Emma doesn't believe her at first, but she really is. And Emma kind of does 180, encourage her that she's going to be a great mom. And they head off to the hospital for the 2-part season finale. So obviously you can see how close Maggie and Emma are. That's obviously one of the big cores of the show. But one thing I find canon worthy is that in most of the past eps, the structure has been one of them kind of spinning out over some issue and the other one pulling them back. And in this episode, they're both doing it in different ways. I really love the way Bird Bones is written. I think it's been smart and daring of the show to push that storyline forward and not just keep her as this static character. I also think this episode is really deft at making the small townness of the show seem believable and grounded. I have to give side props to Jane Kaczmarek because I had never seen her in a role like this before. I didn't know she could really do this buttoned up wasp character.
She plays
Emma's
mom.
So delightful. I'm sorry. She plays Gwendolyn, Emma's mom, and it's a great relationship. And I just love that the character who does not necessarily have to have a heart of gold underneath. She's a great character, and she doesn't necessarily apologize for the thing that she does. And it's really funny, but it manages to be touching by sidestepping schmaltz.
Yeah,
and
it's not
in
saccharine
fact, kind
at all,
of making
which is
up
what
for
I
yeah,
like. Yeah.
You know, the whole, I couldn't clip it because, you know, I was limited in the number of clips I could do. But the part where Emma's like kind of making fun of her, she's like, yeah, she's saying something about dreams and it takes a village, whatever. You know, she's not indulging the schmaltz. And that's something I really like. And it's also the last chapter in pre-mother Maggie, I think, because the next episode, the delivery episode, is really the prologue to her being a mother. And I think it belongs in the canon. That's my submission.
I agree. I love that. One of the things I love about the show is, like you said, the sidestepping of schmaltz. But this feels like, I didn't love Bridesmaids for a bunch of reasons. But one of the reasons is that first bit where the two of them are just talking and like having weird, gross sex talk at brunch and talking about penises. And it just felt really real and like the way actual friends talk to each other. And then it devolved into this big, broad comedy and like, you know, hey, ice sculptures are getting knocked over and, you know, she's ruining everything. And it was like, well, okay, you started off like you had me and then you lost me.
He calls me dude a lot, right?
Yeah. this show got that part that hears like how lady friends talk to each other. And that bit where she's like, look, you're going to have this baby and you're going to, you know, the baby's going to sleep on you and feed from you. And I got everything else. It was like, oh,
yeah.
I mean, it's great. Also, Keegan-Michael Key is, in my opinion, the best part of the show.
He's so good.
He's amazing. And his delivery of why would you say that out loud in the world? I think I might have to leave you all now and go clip myself a new ringtone. It's been great. Smell you later. I hadn't revisited the show recently. It was really fun to get back to it. And the whole like Mr. Nagiani, like writhing around on the floor of the nursery, like shrieking about his eyeballs. Like now I'm sticking a fork in an outlet. Oh, my eyeball. I mean, I don't know. Like it's cheap, but it works for me. And I can't wait for this show to come back. The fact that it got renewed, like, almost secretly, like in a USA PR email, they're like, oh yeah, that thing. Yeah, we'll renew that. I was like, yeah, like all caps excited on Skype. Excellent pick. I'm glad I got to watch it again. Tara, what'd you think?
Yeah, I agree. I especially about Keegan-Michael Key, because his character is sort of the hardest one to write, in that he has to be the guy that you can believe Emma would have been with and might still want to be with again, and also the husband of Bird Bones. Like, there's a lot of that. It's sort of in this episode where he, you know, he has the phone call and he has to talk about the ham and the coupon. And then, of course, he's going to get nitrate free, and then ends with, you know, singing I love you to her. Like, he's whipped. But it's like when Maggie has her speech about how he had, you know, milestones that he wanted to meet at various points in his life, like, that rings true. Like, that's who this guy is now. He couldn't have his first choice, so he married this other girl, and like, things are fine, you know. But then she comes back and everything changes, and that's what I feel like this is a good pick for the canon, because it's a turning point, I think, for the series and for these characters, because after this, you know, things between Mark and Bird Bones don't go so great, and in ways that, you know, set up things to be a lot different now that we know there will be a season two, which is exciting.
Oh, she's going to be in her hoarding closet.
Eating cream eggs.
I know. I love her, though. I hope she's not, like,
she's,
you know.
Yeah, she's really funny. And, like, again, it's like, it's a show where no one is really the villain, and, like, these are just decent people trying to be decent. Like, she's not a bad person. She just wants things a certain way. And like Mark says, there is a right way and a wrong way to do everything, and they have that in common, you know. But I also love, of course, the friendship between Maggie and Emma, and learning that Maggie also had a piece of Mark is interesting new information as well. And it ends with, you know, that nice sweetness, but that's not too sweet. And it's really perfect. It's a great pick. Dave.
I do not disagree with anything anybody has said. That said, the reason why I wouldn't put this in the canon is only because this season of this, well, the first season of the show was so strong throughout. I think there's better episodes. And I feel like because we have such a strong season, and I wouldn't want to put everything in the canon just because everything was good, I would want to put the ones that I thought were super great into the canon. And the two that come to mind are the Bird Bones introduction episode.
Yes.
And the Brocephus episode.
Yes.
Sure.
And, that's the only reason I'm voting no, is because otherwise I would have to put everything in the canon, and I don't think that's really fair. So I'm going to go relative and say this episode, good, but others are great. So let's put this to a vote. Sarah.
I respect your opinion.
Yeah.
I disagree with it, because I think this is both a great episode of the show and a representative episode of the show.
Right.
That's what we're trying to do here, and I'm voting yes.
All right. Tara?
I'm also voting yes, as I said, because it's a turning point for the storyline, and I think that's important.
Well, that's all you need. Two votes. Playing House, Season 1, Episode 8, 37 Weeks. You're hereby inducted into the extra hot great canon, and I'm not disappointed, but I just had to vote my heart.
Americans love a winner.
Yeah.
And will not tolerate a loser.
Nope.
All right, it is time for Winner and Loser of the Week. Sarah has our winner.
I sure do. Our winner is Hip Hop Furniture. Check this shit out,
finally.
You guys.
Explain.
Spike has a show called Framework, which is a furniture building competition show hosted by Common.
What?
I feel no further commentary is necessary. Y'all can feel free. I'm going to go set every DVR in the house and also start writing fanfic, because this is the fucking greatest show that was ever invented.
Have you watched it? Wait. Have you watched it?
No, not yet.
It's not on yet.
It will be airing Tuesdays. I will be covering it for our fine website.
Okay.
So look out for that this
week. So somebody.
First of all, find Spike on your cable network, cable package.
Oh, wait. I actually have a little list of alternate titles for the show.
Oh, God.
Would you like
Thank
to hear
God.
It?
Yes.
Project Runwood.
Yep.
American Table. And my personal favorite, Top Shifferobe. Thanks, Sara.
Also,
would
have accepted
this week.
Actual Cribs.
Oh, actual Cribs.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Loser of the week. I wrote about this on the site briefly, but it's Teresa Giudice, who made a video about her New Year's plans with her fellow Real Housewife of New Jersey co-star, Dina Manzo, for like some site I literally have never heard of. It's just a 3-minute video of them talking about like holding champagne, which they don't drink, and talking about what they're going to be doing for the new year. And what's hanging over all of this as Teresa talks about how she wants to eat fewer bad carbs and how it's hard for her to get away, you know, because she has small kids. She's about to go away to prison, which never mentioned at any point. Like, seriously, it's imminent. Like, she's about to go.
It's happening tomorrow, no?
Is it?
Yeah.
Maybe. That sounds right. So it's please go to the site and watch this incredibly strange video where nothing about real life is acknowledged. And instead, people talk about vague New Year's plans of, you know, resolutions they want to make that are irrelevant. Dave?
Well, I just wanted to say this is not about TV, but I never understood that thing where somebody's going to prison, but they get to go a little bit later. Like, I always thought when you go to prison, if you're going to prison, you go now. Right. You don't get like some time before you go to prison. Doesn't
that seem
weird to anybody?
Her husband also got some time and they have kids. I think they had to figure out some shit.
Well, you just throw some kibble in the bowl and away you go.
That's good enough for Melania. I think we can because all agree.
Been, oh my God, put the bowl on the roof.
Because they've been such a good parent so far. They want to make sure one of them is home.
Zing.
Guys, do you know what time it is?
It time depends. Which time zone are you talking about?
Hard time?
Close. Game time.
Yeah, that's pretty hard. That's what she said.
Mm-hmm. All right, everybody. Welcome to a new season of Game Time. Just a reminder, we play until somebody gets 5 points, then the season ends. Today we are playing Who in the What Now from Sean and Tim, who earned themselves an extra credit. Ka-ching! Where's my extra credit? There we go. Extra credits are redeemable for an extra hot, great mini topic of their choosing. So look for that probably next week. In Who in the What Now, I am going to read you the tale of an actor's journey from one character in the past to one they played last year in 2014. Your challenge is to tell me the actor and the two shows I am describing. You get 1 point for the actor and 1 point for naming both shows. If you're stuck, you can ask me for a clue and I'll give you the name of the character from the older show. Here's an example. She went from Texan coach's wife to country singer. The hint would have been Tammy. The answer, Connie Britton, Friday Night Lights, and Nashville. Does that make sense to everybody?
Yes.
All right.
I have a point question, though. For naming both shows, you get 1 point total?
That's
or naming
right.
Both shows, you get 1 point for each show?
Nope. 1 point. You have to name both to get the point.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, but no half points.
No half points.
Okay.
All right, we have 51 items
Yikes.
Today. 51, is that right?
Woo.
Does that math work out? Yes,
yes.
It does.
Yes.
Yeah,
17 apiece. And a tiebreaker if we need it. So let's throw it to Picky 3000 to see who will start us off.
We will start with valued guest.
All right, so we'll go to John first, and then we'll go to Sarah, since they're both in New York right now, and then finally to Tara. Are we ready to play Who in the What Now?
Yeah, dude.
All right.
Yes.
John.
Yes,
and we're going to start with easy ones, and then I'll let you know when we switch to the hard ones. Sean and Tim aren't screwing around. They've organized everything. He went from solving problems in time to solving crimes in a coastal city. What actor are we talking about, and what two shows? You can ask for a hint, and I will give you the character name from the first show.
Solving problems in time to solving crimes in a coastal city. I'll take the hint, please.
All right. The character's name from the older show, Sam. Sam.
Oh, that's not what I thought it was at all.
Me neither.
Sam.
Whoops.
Sam who solved crimes. Solve crimes.
Problems in time
oh,
to solving crimes in a coastal city.
Problems in time.
All right. Actor, Scott Bakula.
Wow.
Shows, Quantum Leap, Problems in Time, Solving Crimes in a Coastal City, NCIS New Orleans.
Sarah, did you think it was David Tennant, Doctor
I
Who,
sure
and
did.
Brother
I was like, Sam who?
Or Grace Point?
What?
Yeah.
All right. Sarah,
funny.
Yes.
She went from getting nothing done in New York to getting nothing done in D.C.
That would be Julia Louis-Dreyfus on Seinfeld and Veep.
That is good for 2 points total. Nicely done. All right, Sarah. Nope. I mean, Tara.
Yep.
My wife.
Yes.
Tara.
Hi.
Not Sarah.
I'm right behind you looking at your butt right now.
She went from the wealthy woman in Pine Valley to a wealthy woman in Beverly Hills with a maid.
Susan Lucci. First show is My Children. The second show is Devious Maids.
That is good for 2 points.
Nice.
Well done. All right, back to John. She went from pretty popular high schooler to FBI detective's wife.
FBI detective's wife last year.
Probably FBI agent.
Yeah, FBI that makes more sense. She went from pretty popular high schooler to FBI agent's wife. You want the hint?
Sure.
Character's name from the older show, Kelly.
Oh, okay. Oh, Jenny Garth is the actress.
You're on the right track, but you're thinking Tiffany Thiessen.
Oh, of course. Yeah, I'm white collar. Yeah.
That show screwed you again.
Well, I already forgot it.
All right, Sarah.
Yep.
He went from old-time sheriff to modern-day U.S. Marshal. Old-time sheriff, modern-day U.S. Marshal. Remember, the second part of the clue is a show that aired in 2014.
Okay. I believe this is Timothy Off-His-Pants.
Yeah.
Woo!
He was on Deadwood and Justified.
That is good for 2 points. Tara.
Yeah.
He went from crass patriarch of a small family to tough patriarch of a large, diverse family.
Hint.
Al.
Oh. Ed O'Neill from Modern Family and... No, sorry. Married with Children first, then Modern Family.
That is correct. So you get 1 point.
1 point. Okay.
All right. She went from physical therapist living with two men to 50-something living with her gal pals. This is for you, John.
Gal pals.
Gal pals.
Gal pals.
In the case of this show, it really applies, though.
It really does. She went from a physical therapist living with two men to 50-something living with her gal pals. John.
I'll take the hint.
Daphne.
No.
Daphne.
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 Daphne. Daphne.
Daphne. Oh, okay. I don't know that actress's name, so. The first show's Frasier, but I don't know what she's on, so.
Hot in Cleveland is the second show. That's Jane Leaves. Jane Leaves. Who played Daphne on Frasier.
Also the virgin on Seinfeld.
Okay. He went from small town perfect boyfriend to occasionally possessed demon hunter heartthrob. This is for
sure.
Sarah.
Could you read it again, please?
He went from small town perfect boyfriend to occasionally possess demon hunter heartthrob.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. Oh, my mind is now emptied of this man's name who is on, who was on Gilmore Girls and then was on Supernatural.
Okay, that's good for 1 point.
And his name is Name Guy with the hair. Fuck. I don't remember.
Jared Padalecki.
Oh. But I still got 1 point, right?
You still got 1 point, yep.
Correct. Yeah, but...
That's a battle licky. Okay, Tara?
Yeah.
That's what she said.
He went from emotional cop
with
long monologues to a non-emotional captain.
Oh, Andre Brower from Homicide: Life on the Street and Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Correct.
Nice.
She went from cynical, sharp-tongued photographer to innovative assistant.
Cynical, sharp-tongued photographer to innovative assistant.
This is... I don't know if I put this in the easy category. This feels tough.
Well, that's how this game's going for me. I'll take the hint.
All right. Character's name from the older show, Cat with a K. Cat with a K.
Oh, that's not where I thought it was going at all.
Cat with a K.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have a guess for the first one, but not for the second one.
So. Actor Lizzie Kaplan shows The Class and Masters of Sex. Yeah, that might have been easier if that was a Party Down starter.
Yeah.
Right.
I thought that might be Veronica Mars, actually. Mm. I thought that might be Kristen Bell. But
All right, Sarah. She went from self-involved customer service rep to self-involved doctor? Self-involved customer service rep to self-involved doctor. So a doctor from 2014.
Oh, hint.
The character's name, Kelly. Really older. The customer service rep's character, Kelly.
Oh, right. That would be Mindy Kaling on The Office and The Mindy Project.
Nice.
That's good for 1 point.
All right. Dig it.
Tara, he went from being an irresponsible ex-husband to a paragon of virtue as leader of a crack team.
Irresponsible.
Ex-husband. To a paragon of virtue as leader of a crack team.
Hint.
Richard.
It's Clark Gregg from The New Adventures of Old Christine and Agents of
Good for 1 point.
Marvel's Agents of Shield.
Yes, thank you. Good for 1 point.
Nope.
All right, John.
Yes.
He went from coolest high school student with all the right answers to the coolest lawyer with all the right answers.
Oh.
Coolest high school student with all the right answers. I'll take the hint.
Zach.
So that's Saved by the Bell. But what's he on now? Coolest lawyer with all the right answers.
Can't believe that's still on.
It's not. It got canceled. Not.
Yay! Oh.
Originally, this game was shows that are currently on, but I had to change it to 2014 because it sat in the hopper for a little bit as we not doing regular episodes.
Yeah, I don't know.
Getting the truck guy.
Franklin and Bish.
All right, Tara.
Yep.
He went from rule-following cop
Sarah. Sarah.
Yep. My apologies. He went from rule-following cop in Real World. In the Real World, I should read, to rule-following cop in a superhero world. He went from rule-following cop in the Real World to a rule-following cop in a superhero world. If anybody who's going to get this, it's you, Sarah.
Oh, thanks, because I never get these.
It's so easy.
So I'm going to guess Jesse L. Martin on Law & Order Mothership and The Flash.
Okay. That's what I thought it was, too.
But that works, though,
doesn't
it?
That does apply.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
We'll give you that point.
Two points.
Yeah, to give you those 2 points, because, that works.
But the reason
I thought you would get this, because it's Ben McKenzie in Southland and Gotham
is what we were looking for. That's funny.
Yeah.
But they both are true.
Yeah, they're both are true, so we're going to give you those points. All right. Bring us into our first score break, Tara.
Yeah?
He went from crazy man working as a copywriter to crazy romantic working at a dating website.
It's Ben Feldman on Mad Men and A to Z.
Correct. All right.
Oh, fuck.
Here's our first score break. Tara.
Sarah and I are tied with 8 each.
All right.
John is looking to get on the board.
Just mumble.
John is awesome.
John.
It's true.
Here's your chance. We're still in the easies. She went from a depressed nurse to a steely lawyer. Depressed nurse in an old show to a steely lawyer in a show that aired last year.
Steely lawyer in a show that aired last year. I don't watch any shows with lawyers. I'll take the hint, please.
All right. Older character name, Carol. Carol.
Oh, depressed nurse named Carol.
That's a depressed nurse.
Yep.
John, this is not your game. Juliana Margulies in ER as Carol and on The Good Wife. The Good Wife. All right, number 17 for Sarah. She went from captain of a lost crew to behind-the-scenes leader with mob connections. She went from captain of a lost crew to behind-the-scenes leader with mob connections.
Oh, God. Okay. Is it Kate Mulgrew?
I'm going to need the rest of the answer, please.
Oh, you're going to need the rest of the answer.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Come closer.
I'll give you the rest of the answer.
I forget which Trek it is, so I'm going to go with Deep Space Nine.
It's Star Trek shovel, as I call it. Star Trek Voyager.
Oh, Voyager.
The ship looked like a shovel. And orange is the new black, as red.
Okay.
Well. All right, Tara.
Yeah.
She went from high school cheerleader to country superstar.
Hayden Panettiere from Heroes and Nashville.
That was quick for 2 points. All right, back to John. She went from narcissistic reporter to off-the-wall pink bunny-eared teenager.
You should see John's face right now.
could you repeat it? I'm sorry.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. She went from narcissistic reporter to off-the-wall pink bunny-eared teenager. Yeah, that's not a good hint. I don't know what it is.
But I don't know. I don't think she's a teenager if it's who I'm thinking
yeah,
of.
Okay. Kid. Well, it's a tween, maybe. Kid, yeah. Kid. Yeah, that's true. She's not a teenager.
And the first one, I'm sorry, Dave. One more
narcissistic time. Reporter is the older one. And I will reporter. Say this is a little tricky. Might not. It's a character, but it's also not a character.
Well, it's got to be an animated voice, right? So I'll take the hint.
Okay. Character in the older show, the narcissistic reporter, Kristen.
Kristen?
Right. Yeah. And that's a good hint. That hint's going to follow right into the answer.
Okay.
I'm at a total loss.
Really trying to help you, but I don't think you're going to get it. All right. Tara, have you figured it out?
It's Kristen Schaal from The Daily Show and Bob's Burgers.
That's correct. All right, Sarah.
Yes.
That was a hard one.
That was a really hard one.
She went.
Come on, Sean and Tim.
Sean and Tim, bad job, internet. just joking. She went from chef in New York to real estate agent in Florida. This is for Sarah. Chef in New York. Real estate agent in Florida.
I don't think I'm going to get this, but hint?
Monica.
Oh, okay. It's Courtney Cox. Friends and Cougar Town.
That's good for 1 point.
I was going to say her lips also changed, but
and her last name and its hyphens changed a few times, but
yep.
I'll take the point and run.
Mm-hmm.
For Tara.
Yeah.
He went from alcoholic baseball player to Las Vegas investigator.
Ted Danson, Cheers, and CSI, the original CSI.
Original Rays, CSI. Correct for 2 points. Back to John. Oh, here's your chance, John.
Don't set him up like that.
No, because the answer was
you'll never
sort
get
of,
this, John.
The answer has already been given for this question.
Okay.
He went from a British lead investigator on a crime in England and American lead investigator on a crime in the U.S.
All right. David Tennant from Broadchurch to Grace Point.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yay!
Okay. He's on the board.
I wish I could say I'm too proud to take the points, but I'm not.
All right. So
I'll take him if you don't want him.
Sarah.
Yes.
He went from college student completing challenges in the South Pacific to a cop challenging demons in Oregon.
Can you read it again, please?
Okay.
He went from a college student completing challenges in the South Pacific to a cop challenging demons in Oregon.
I'll say that if it's what I'm thinking of, the first one was not really a role.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I don't.
I will give you that hint. That is correct.
I think it is either.
We're in Kristen Schaal territory.
Can I have the actual hint?
Yeah. David. The character name is David.
Right. Oh, shells. I don't know.
Tara, it seems like you might know it.
Is it David? I don't know how to say his last name. Gentoli?
Yeah, sure.
From Road Rules and Grimm?
That's right. That is correct.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was never going to get that.
Here's our last easy question.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, God.
Tara.
Yes?
He went from being driven crazy by his disillusioned cold family. Is that a word?
Yeah.
Disillusioned cold family.
Uh-huh.
To being driven crazy by his vivacious, overly close family.
I'm going to say it's Peter Krause from 6 Feet Under and Parenthood.
That is good for 2 points.
Of Peter Krause disease.
All right. John, who knows? Maybe it's Freaky Friday and these are all going to be easy to you guys. He went from doctor in the imagination of a mentally disabled child to officer in the armed forces. That's not super hard.
No.
Doctor in the imagination of a
mentally disabled child. That's a good hint. Child.
Yeah. That is a good hint.
I'll take the hint, please.
Okay. Character's name, Robert. The doctor is Robert, who lives in the imagination of a mentally disabled child. That might be bad phrasing. I don't know. I don't know if that's politically correct phrasing. But we'll blame Sean.
I don't know.
All right. Actor's name was Mark Harmon, and he was doctor on St. Elsewhere in the Jimmy Westfall universe.
Yep.
And currently on NCIS. NCIS. All right. Sarah, he went from irresponsible younger brother to responsible hot doctor.
Irresponsible younger brother to responsible hot doctor.
Yep.
Hint.
Justin is the character's name. Younger brother is Justin.
Oh. That guy.
The younger brother.
Younger brother. Oh, God. Well, shit. I don't know the second show, but I'll take the point for Dave Annable.
Nice.
Who's on Brothers and Sisters.
Yeah, how are we doing the after? I never really established how we're doing that.
I just assumed if we...
If you got one of the pieces?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's how I've been scoring it.
I didn't answer on a couple because I thought you had to get them both.
Okay.
After you got
let's give John 2 points. Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Sure.
Second show is
I'm extremely generous with points when they're meeting with guys. In fact, let's give them 3 points.
Hey. Okay. The second show is Red Band Society.
That's correct. Sorry. Brothers and Sisters and Red Band Society. And that was Dave Annable.
Yep.
All right, Tara.
Yeah.
She went from con artist to hippie mom.
Hint.
Dahlia / Sharon, but it's spelled weird. That's the con artist name, which, she's got an alias or two, apparently.
I don't know.
That's Minnie Driver from The Riches and About a Boy.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Huh. All right, John. John's got 5 points, right?
Yep.
He went from duplicitous Islander. Duplicitous Islander, I just lost my place in the dock. To security conscious billionaire.
Duplicitous Islander to security conscious billionaire.
Yes.
Okay. Duplicitous Islander, not Highlander. Okay.
No, Islander.
Islander.
Duplicitous Islander in the older show to security conscious billionaire in a 2014 show. Actor and shows.
I'll take the hint, please.
Henry. Henry is Duplicitous Islander. Henry.
Henry the Duplicitous Islander.
Oh.
Islander.
No.
Island.
No, I get that
island.
Show. Yeah.
Stop it, Dave.
To the island.
Dave, stop it.
No, I don't know a Henry on Lost, but.
Okay. You're on the right track, but.
Yeah.
Michael Emerson. From Lost, as you guessed, and also currently on Person of Interest.
Oh, okay.
Person of Interest. All right, Sarah. He went from airhead actor to rich and famous actor.
Airhead actor to rich and famous actor, I think, is Matt LeBlanc on Friends and Episodes.
That's
nice.
Good for 2 points. Our first 2 point hard question.
Nice.
Very good. Tatara, he went from provocative gay man in the UK to behind-the-scenes schemer in an imaginary kingdom.
Is it Aidan Gillen from Queer as Folk and Game of Thrones?
Wow, nice. Wow. 2 points.
Thank you, editing recaps.
All right, John. She went from youngle.
Oh, my God.
I just combined young single.
Dave heard his back,
I created
guys.
A new word.
He heard his
youngle.
Back.
Young singles are hereby now known as youngles. She went from young single New York girl hanging out with her girlfriends to uptight mom of three. I'll read that for you again. She went from single young New York girl hanging out with her girlfriends to uptight mom of three.
Uptight mom of three.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess it's Kristen Davis.
Tracy Ellis Ross from Girlfriends in Blackish.
Oh, sure.
No, I never would have gotten that. Yeah.
Okay, Tara.
Yep.
Bring us into Sarah.
No, Sarah.
Yep.
Why do I have... Oh, right. That should be there. All right, Sarah.
Yes.
She went from extremely competent companion in time and space to a girl who can only function online.
I'm never going to know this one.
Tara probably knows.
Who can only function online?
Yeah.
Oh, is it Karen Gillan from Doctor Who and Selfie?
Yeah, that's correct. All right, bring us into our score break. For Tara.
Yeah.
He went from teen always getting into hijinks to many characters, including one who can fix it.
Hint.
Keenan.
Is it Keenan Thompson from... I don't know what that show was. It wasn't... Was it... I can't remember what the...
Well, under the rules, well, you got okay. the point. Keenan Thompson, Keenan and Kel.
Okay. I was going to say Good Burger, but that was the movie.
Saturday Night Live. Yeah. All right. So let's find out them scores.
Okay. John has 5 points.
Woo.
Sarah has 13 points.
Woo.
I have 17
points. All right. So there's game enough here
yep.
to change that standing. Mm-hmm. And we're going to go to John. Are you ready, John?
Yes.
She went from throwing out the rules as president to following the rules as a cop. She went from throwing out the rules as president to following the rules as a cop.
Oh, shoot.
You can always ask for that hint, that delicious hint.
That's not going to help.
No. All right.
I remember that show existed, but
do you know One Piece?
I'll take the hint, but I don't think
I'll. The hint is Laura.
Oh.
Laura.
And she threw other things out besides rules.
She did.
Oh.
She did do that.
I don't know the actress's name. Now I know the show, but...
Okay, well, later.
And the second part was...
Following the rules as a cop.
Following the rules as a cop. So it's Battlestar. I don't know.
That's that new one. Yeah. What's that generic new one?
Is it Major Crimes?
Major
Crimes, right.
Oh,
Sarah knows.
It's probably authoritatively
on the channel.
That was Mary McDonald as President Rosalind from Battlestar Galactica and Major Crimes. All right, Sarah. She went from nerdy girl dating the cutest boy in town to insecure religious surgeon.
Insecure religious surgeon?
Yep.
Hint.
Hannah. Or Hannah.
I think it was Hannah.
The nerdy girl's name was Hannah.
Oh, shit. And I don't remember the actress's name.
You only need to know the shows, though.
You only need to know the shows for this point.
Well, I don't know the second show either, so next.
Is it Sarah Drew? Everwood and Grey's?
Yep. Grey's Anatomy is the second show.
Oh,
Tara.
She's April, I think, on that show. Yes.
She went from irresponsible, fast-talking mother with a teenage daughter to an irresponsible mother with a teenage daughter and son.
It's Lauren Graham from Gilmore Girls and Parenthood.
Yeah, I would have put that one the easy one. I think.
Me too.
Okay. John. She went from trying to save imprisoned friends to trying to send serial killers to prison.
Oh,
I know this, and I'm so embarrassed.
I'll take the hint.
Veronica is the character's name that tried to save imprisoned friends.
And the second part was?
Trying to send serial killers to prison.
I don't know. I'd guess Kristen Bell. It doesn't sound quite right. Yeah.
Robin Tunney from Prison Break and The Mentalist.
Knew it. Sarah. Gonna kill myself.
All right, Sarah. Here's your chance. Oh, this smells hard. She went from a small town girl who aspired to model in editorials to small town girl who aspires to love and do business in New York. It says love and business in New York. I'm gonna assume that's too busy to do business. And it's another one of those characters.
Ah.
So, she went from small-town girl who aspires to model in editorials to small-town girl who aspires to love and do business in New York.
Hint.
Annalie. A-N-A.
Annalie.
Annalie? Okay.
A-N-A-L-E-I-G-H.
Yeah.
Okay. This is a total guess, but what the hell? Annalee Tipton from America's Next Top Model and The Carey Diaries?
Well, you got the actor's name right. The America's Next Top Model was correct. The other one you were looking for was Manhattan Love Story.
Oh, terrible. I wasn't looking for that, actually.
No one was.
All right. Tara.
Yeah.
He went from being a useless, annoying stepbrother who dies to malevolent undead older brother.
Useless stepbrother who dies.
Yeah. Useless, annoying stepbrother who dies.
Oh, it's Ian Somerhalder from Lost and The Vampire Diaries.
Nicely done. 2 points. All right, John.
That's some editorial commentary.
He went boom there, right?
He was pretty useless.
He went from slushy thrower to superhero in a split.
Did you say slushy thrower?
Yep.
Slushy thrower.
Slushy thrower. Really good hint. To a superhero in a split. Superhero in a split. Slushy thrower. Superhero in a split.
I'll take a hint.
Sebastian is the slushy thrower.
Sebastian the slushy thrower. I don't know.
Grant Gustin, slushy thrower from Glee.
He was on Glee?
And superhero in a split from The Flash.
Huh.
No, yeah. That was five seasons after I stopped watching Glee, I think.
Oh, cool. Sarah. She went from a spoiled chancellor's daughter to single mother detective. Anybody's going to get this. It's Sarah D. Bunting.
Yep.
There's two things here in your wheelhouse.
That is Kathleen Robertson of Beverly Hills 90210 and Murder in the First.
Nice!
Wow, that was good.
Wow.
That was beautiful to hear. I was going to say watch, but I didn't actually watch it.
Tara?
Yes.
She went from newly discovered Broadway star to waitress / glue for a diverse team of outcasts.
Catherine McPhee from Smash and Scorpion?
Scorpion is
correct. Couldn't remember if that was that one or Stalker.
All right. Back to John. She went from cold robot. Whoops. It's not a score break. She went from cold robot to kick-ass detective. Mahalo. She went from cold robot to kick-ass detective, and I added mahalo.
I think that was a mojito.
Yes, it was a mojito.
I don't know. I might as well get for the cold robot. I'll guess Summer Glau.
That's Grace Park, who played Sharon / Boomer on Battlestar Galactica, and is on Hawaii 5-0.
Hawaii. Never have gotten it.
All right, Sarah.
Yes,
she, and that is to say, he went from underachieving but lovable jock to lovable guitar playing dumbass. He went from underachieving but lovable jock to lovable guitar playing dumbass. And I had no idea. No idea this guy was on this show.
Yep.
Huh.
I did.
Oh, Sarah's great. Getting John's hints.
Hint?
Bright.
Oh. It's Chris Pratt from Everwood and Parks and Recreation.
Yay.
Nice.
Wow, he must have been a baby.
He looked pretty old then.
Did he?
Yeah, he just always had eye bags.
And he dated Hannah from a previous question.
Yep. Aww. He was the cutest boy in town. Darn no was. Question. Yes?
She went from genius country girl fighting evil in L.A. to assassin computer hacker in NYC. Good luck.
Hint.
Winifred Fred.
Oh, that's Amy Acker from Angel and... Person of interest.
Very good. All right, 1 point. John, she went from teenage detective to corporate consultant.
There she is.
Kristen Bell, Veronica Mars, House of Lies.
Yeah.
2 points. All right, Sarah.
Yep.
She went from unruly teenage daughter to down-to-earth waitress / aspiring actress. Unruly teenage daughter. to down to
the
Earth.
Reciprocal look on Sarah's face.
Yeah, it's one of those times we really do need a video feed. Hint.
Just lost my place. Your hint is Bridget. Bridget.
I don't know.
Anybody?
No.
Kaylee, what's her name?
She's Cuoco. Just in the
news. Oh, Kaylee Cuoco?
Cuoco?
Yeah.
All right. From Eight Simple Rules and The Big Bang Theory.
Right.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeesh.
Nope.
Nope.
All right, Tara.
Yeah.
No.
She went from Potsmock. Oh, my God.
Jeez, Dave.
Who went from
he hurt his back, everybody. Hurt his back.
Where I keep my brain. She went from pot-smoking, tough teenager.
Yep.
To former drug smuggler still plagued by the mistakes of her past.
Hint.
Donna.
Donna. Oh, it's Laura Prepon from That 70s Show and Orange is the New Black.
Nice.
Excuse me. May I borrow your Laura Prepon?
But of course.
All right, last question for John. He went from modern werewolf to island detective. Mahalo.
Modern werewolf? I thought he was a vampire.
Well, keep that in mind.
If it's the person I'm thinking
of. All right.
What was that? I didn't hear that, Tara.
All right. He went from modern werewolf or possibly vampire, according to Tara.
Or if it's who vampire. I'm thinking of.
He went from modern creature that... modern creature of myth to island detective. Mahalo.
I'll take the hint, please.
Mick. Mick is your modern werewolf slash
modern werewolf slash
vampire. John, I'm gonna give you a point for this question because I feel like it might be messed up. But any idea of maybe the second show? Maybe the second show. Guess what the second show is? Mahalo.
The island show?
Yeah.
All right, that was...
Alex O'Loughlin?
Yep.
From Moonlight and Hawaii Five-0?
Yeah.
I swear he was a vampire on the show, but I never watched it.
Would you have got it if you had vampire information, John?
No, I wouldn't. All right,
Okay.
I didn't think Hawaii Five-0
We'll put our crack R&D team on that one and get the answer to you. Never. All right, Sarah.
Yes.
Your last question. She went from hard as nails ADA... This is obviously a Sarah question. Mm-hmm. To hard as nails detective. This is an easy one for Sarah, I'm guessing. Hard as nails ADA to hard as nails detective.
I don't think she's watched the second show.
Oh, but she's got to know about it. It's kind of a punchline. That was a clue. All right, here we go.
Hint.
All right, Abby.
Oh, it's not who I was thinking of at all.
Oh, her. Okay. Angie Harmon, who's on Law & Order Mothership and... Rizzoli and Isles?
Ah, Rizzoli is my favorite pasta.
I was thinking it was Rubirosa because she's now a detective on Forever.
Who is?
Rubirosa.
Oh, that's nice.
Whatever
for her
name was. Yeah.
Last question.
Yeah.
Tara.
Yep.
She went from Jewish insecure sister to all American repressed eternal housewife.
Jewish repressed?
No, Jewish insecure sister.
Insecure Jewish sister.
To all American repressed housewife.
Hint?
Brenda.
Jewish Brenda.
Jewish Brenda.
Oh, Rachel Griffiths from 6 Feet Under and Brothers.
Incorrect.
Okay.
Brenda is, I assume it's the first name of Rhoda. Brenda Rhoda, whatever.
Morgan Stern.
Yeah. Or,
she's
Julie Kavner's character on Rhoda.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, Julie Kavner from Rhoda and Marge on The Simpsons.
That
makes sense to me. All right, so let's hear them scores.
John has 8, Sarah has 13, I have 25.
Okay, well.
Here we go again.
Tara!
Who will stop Tara's reign? Who indeed? All right, shits and giggles?
Yeah.
He went from private investigator to police commissioner.
Tom Selleck.
On?
Megan P.I. Blue Bloods.
Blue Bloods.
Yeah, Sarah. Yeah, that's the fighting spirit.
Hey, if I watched that crappy show, which I did, not Magnum, I mean Blue Bloods, get something out of it. Sorry.
Good. Way to qualify. Getting worried there for a second. All right. That's it for another episode of Extra Hot Great. We stopped by Downton Abbey for its fifth series debut, and discussed how much Sarah Bunting is like Sarah Bunting before going around the dial with stops at Rags to Riches, The Flash, FXX Movie Ads, and The Great British Baking Show. John successfully pitched us 37 weeks from the first season of Playing House. That deserves a...
What?
We crowned winners and losers of the week, and Tara was the winner of this week's Game Time. Remember,
we're listening.
I am David T. Cole, and on behalf of Tara Ariano...
I think I'll just slip out before breakfast.
Sarah D. Bunting.
Workers unite, motherfuckers.
And John Ramos.
Keep Mosley in the kitchens until his hair stops turning blue.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next time right here on Extra Hot Great.
I think I might need some fig Newtons.
Okay.
Newtons.